How did you happen to get in here?
I ran here. You scared the daylights out of me last night.
Seems like the truth shouldn't scare anybody, man or boy.
Thing getting you?
No. I'm just thinking about public reaction to all this.
Dateline, July 2nd, 1961. The New York Times. Ketchum, Idaho. Ernest Hemingway was found dead of a shotgun wound in the head at his home here today. His wife, Mary, said that he had killed himself accidentally while cleaning the weapon. Mr. Hemingway, whose writings won him a Nobel Prize and a Pulitzer Prize, would have been 62 years old on July 21st. Frank Hewitt, the Blaine County Sheriff, said after a preliminary investigation that the death, quote, looked like an accident. There is no evidence of foul play. The body of the bearded, barrel-chested rider, clad in a robe and pajamas, was found by his wife in the foyer of their modern concrete house. A double-barreled 12-gauge shotgun lay beside him with one chamber discharged. Mrs. Hemingway, the author's fourth wife, whom he married in 1946, issued this statement. Mr. Hemingway accidentally killed himself while cleaning a gun this morning at 7:30 a.m. No time has been set for the funeral services, which will be private. Mrs. Hemingway was placed under sedation. Coroner Ray McGoldrick said tonight that he would decide tomorrow after speaking to Mrs. Hemingway whether to hold an inquest. The rider was discharged from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota last Monday after 2 months of treatment for hypertension and what a Mayo spokesperson called a very old case of hepatitis. He had been treated there last year for the same conditions and had been released January 23rd after 56 days. About a month ago, Mr. Hemingway's physician at the clinic described his health as, quote, excellent. The author had been worried about his weight, 200 pounds. He was 6 feet tall. Mr. Hemingway and his wife, who drove from Rochester, arrived Friday night at this village on the outskirts of Sun Valley. Chuck Atkinson, a Ketchum motel owner, who has been a friend of Mr. Hemingway for 20 years, was with him yesterday. He said he seemed to be in good spirits. We didn't talk about anything in particular. I think he spent the last night at home. However, Marshal Les Jankow, another friend, and the first law officer to reach the scene, said residents had told him that Mr. Hemingway had, quote, looked thinner and acted depressed. At the time of the shooting, Mrs. Hemingway, the only other person in the house, lay asleep in the bedroom upstairs. The shot woke her, and she went downstairs to find her husband's body near the gun rack in the foyer. Mrs. Hemingway told friends that she had been unable to find any note. Mr. Hemingway was an ardent hunter and an expert on firearms. His father, Dr. Clarence E. Hemingway, was also devoted to hunting. He shot himself to death at his home in Oak Park, Illinois, in 1928 at the age of 57, despondent over a diabetic condition. The death weapon was a Civil War pistol that had been owned by the physician's father. The theme of a father's suicide cropped up frequently in Mr. Hemingway's short stories and at least in one novel, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Mr. Hemingway was given his first shotgun at the age of 10. As an adult, he sought out danger. He was wounded by mortar shells in Italy in World War I, narrowly escaped death in the Spanish Civil War when 3 shells plunged into his hotel room. In World War II, he was injured in a taxi accident that took place in a blackout. The author nearly died of blood poisoning on one African safari. He and his wife walked away from an airplane crash in 1954 on another big game hunt. Mr. Hemingway, who owned 2 estates in Cuba and a home in Key West, Florida, started coming to Ketchum about 20 years ago. He bought his home here from Robert Topping about 3 years ago. It is a large, ultra-modern concrete structure that sits on a hillside near the banks of the Wood River. The windows give upon a panoramic view of the Sawtooth Mountains. The funeral and burial will be in Ketchum, Mr. Goldrick said. This was Mr. Hemingway's home. He loved it here. Under a new Idaho law that took effect yesterday, the chief law enforcement officer must make an investigation into every case of violent death and determine the cause. He may hold an inquest if he wishes, but it is not mandatory. Late in the day, Mr. McGoldrick said about the shooting, I can only say at this stage that the wound was self-inflicted. The wound was in the head. I couldn't say it was accidental, and I couldn't say that it was suicide. There wasn't anybody there. The coroner said that the sheriff did not have to hand in his report on the death for several days. If anything comes up indicating foul play, he may hold an inquest, he said. I don't think he'll hold an inquest, but based on new evidence, it could be called at any time. He added, he doesn't have to state in his report whether it was accidental or suicide. Mary felt it was accidental, and I hope that's the way it will go out, Mr. Atkins said. But maybe we will have to change our plans and hold an inquest. I know that Papa, Mr. Hemingway's nickname, wouldn't give a damn how it came out in the papers. Previously, Mr. Atkinson had been busy trying to reach members of Mr. Hemingway's immediate family. He telephoned Mrs. Jasper J. Jepson, the novelist's sister, who said that she would fly to Ketchum immediately. The author's 28-year-old son, Gregory, a University of Miami medical student, will fly here from Miami tomorrow. Another son, Patrick, according to Mr. Atkinson, is on safari in Africa, and a third, John, is fishing in Oregon. In Hyannisport, Massachusetts, President Kennedy mourned tonight the death of Ernest Hemingway, whom he called one of America's greatest authors and one of the great citizens of the world. The president, who is spending the 4th of July weekend here with his family, issued a statement after hearing of Mr. Hemingway's death. This is Dragon King Dark, and I'm your host, Carl Stern, from WhenItWasCool.com. This show is produced and distributed by WhenItWasCool.com. It can be heard at WhenItWasCool.com, Figure4Online.com, WrestlingObserver.com, Dark Matter Digital Network, and is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and many other podcasting services. We hope you'll go to your podcast provider, wherever you get your podcast from, and in the search engine type the words, When It Was Cool. There you should see our three free shows, When It Was Cool Dark, When It Was Cool Retro Pop Culture, and When It Was Cool Wrestling. I hope you will subscribe to all three shows, visit our website at whenitwascool.com, and ultimately become a Patreon supporter, which is how we fund our shows and our website. You can become a Patreon supporter for as low as $1 and gain access to as many as 2,000 additional podcasts in our archives, dealing with pop culture, retro pop culture, pro wrestling history, books, TV, movies, and much, much more. Check us out at whenitwascool.com. This is part of our 100 Darkest Moments in Pop Culture History series. We're now in the 80s as far as the numbering goes in this series, so we're not very far from the end. And today's pop culture is books. And one of the most famous authors in American history was Ernest Hemingway. Almost certainly, if you were in school any time in the last 50 years, you were probably assigned at some point to read an Ernest Hemingway book and probably do a book report on it. Certainly one of the most famous authors of all time. The website allthat'sinteresting.com, in an article written by Kristen Wernarski, published in August of 2022, further delves into the death of Ernest Hemingway. Since that New York Times article came out, much more has been discussed and discovered about the death of Ernest Hemingway, as this article suggest Ernest Hemingway famously struggled with alcoholism and mental illness for decades before taking his own life in 1961. Ernest Hemingway was one of the most celebrated writers of the 20th century. With his novels such as The Sun Also Rises and The Old Man and the Sea, still studied in classrooms across America today, Hemingway's legacy continues to inspire generations of readers, but the controversy surrounding his death lives on as well. On July 2, 1961, Ernest Hemingway died at his home in Ketchum, Idaho. The New York Times reported that he accidentally shot himself, and Blaine County Sheriff Frank Hewitt initially said that no foul play was suspected. But just 2 days prior, Hemingway had been released from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, where he had been treated for depression and other mental health struggles. People soon began to wonder whether the famed author's death was truly an accident. Hemingway's wife, Mary, later admitted to the press that he had indeed taken his own life. And in the decades following his demise, multiple members of his family died by suicide as well, sparking rumors of a mysterious Hemingway curse. Although Ernest Hemingway was a prolific author who won both the Pulitzer Prize and the Nobel Prize in Literature for his work, he led a life full of tragedy and frequently struggled with his mental health. According to the Los Angeles Times, Hemingway's mother, Grace, was a controlling woman who dressed him as a little girl when he was a child. She wanted him to match his older sister because she was disappointed she hadn't had twins. Meanwhile, his father, Clarence, was a manic depressive and had the tendency to become violent. When Hemingway was 29, Clarence died by suicide. According to biography, the author blamed his father's death on his mother. Hemingway's third wife, Martha Gellhorn, once wrote, quote, "Deep in earnest, due to his mother, going back to the indestructible first memories of childhood, was mistrust and fear of women." She claimed that it was because of Grace that Hemingway had issues with abandonment and infidelity. When Hemingway was injured while volunteering as an ambulance driver in Italy during World War I, he reportedly fell in love with his nurse and spiraled into a depression when she rejected him. And when his marriage with first wife, Hadley Richardson, ended in divorce because Hemingway was unfaithful, he carried his regret and anguish with him for the rest of his life. Hemingway had just married his second wife, Pauline Pfeiffer, at the time of his father's death, and struggled with mental illness and alcoholism quickly, and it began to worsen. The author wrote in a letter to Pfeiffer's mother about his father's suicide, "I'll probably go the same way." According to The Independent, Ernest Hemingway told a friend after his father's death, "My life was more or less shot out from under me, and I was drinking too much entirely through my own fault." Despite several doctors telling him to stop drinking because he had developed liver damage as early as 1937 when he was just 38 years old, Hemingway continued his unhealthy relationship with alcohol. Hemingway also had a strange fascination with death, and he gravitated toward gory activities like fishing, hunting, and watching bullfights. He even told actress Ava Gardner in 1954, "I spend a hell of a lot of time killing animals and fish, so I won't kill myself." That same year, he survived 2 plane crashes while hunting in Africa. He suffered serious injuries in the second, including 2 cracked vertebrae, a fractured skull, and a ruptured liver. The event took a toll on both his physical and mental health, and he continued to drink copious amounts of alcohol while he was bedbound during his recovery. As the author grew older, his friends and family members noticed that he was beginning to act disoriented and paranoid. He believed the FBI was surveilling him, but it turns out he was right. According to PBS, the FBI had been tapping Hemingway's phones and filing reports on him since the 1940s because they were suspicious about his activities in Cuba. Hemingway also began struggling to write. He tried to write a memoir of his time in Paris, but he had a difficult time doing so. And when he was asked to write a short piece for John F. Kennedy's inauguration, he wept and said, "It just won't come anymore." By late 1960, Hemingway's mental health had deteriorated to the point that his fourth wife, Mary, had him admitted to the Mayo Clinic for treatment. She later told the New York Times, when he went to the Mayo Clinic in November of 1960, his blood pressure was very high, but his real trouble was a serious, very serious breakdown. He was so depressed, I could not even say when he started to feel so depressed. Hemingway was released in January 1961, but when Mary found him holding a shotgun just 3 months later, he was immediately readmitted. In April of 1961, Hemingway boarded a small plane to travel from his home in Idaho to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. According to PBS, when the plane stopped in South Dakota to refuel, Hemingway reportedly tried to walk straight into the propeller, but the pilot cut it off just in time. During his second two-month stay at the clinic, Hemingway underwent at least 15 rounds of electroconvulsive shock therapy and was prescribed a new drug called Librium. This caused the author to have short-term memory issues without providing much relief for his depression, but he was discharged at the end of June anyway. When he arrived back in Ketchum, Idaho, he spoke with his longtime friend and local motel owner, Chuck Atkinson. After Hemingway's death, Atkinson told the New York Times, "He seemed to be in good spirits. We didn't talk about anything in particular." Yet the very next morning, just 2 days after returning home from the Mayo Clinic, Hemingway got out of bed at 7 a.m., put on his favorite robe, found the key to the gun cabinet his wife had tried to hide from him, took out a double-barreled shotgun he used to hunt birds, and shot himself in the forehead. The gunshot woke Mary, who rushed downstairs and found Ernest Hemingway dead in the foyer. She called police and told them the gun had unexpectedly gone off while Hemingway was cleaning it, and initial reports about his death framed it as a tragic accident. However, there was controversial speculation that the author had died by suicide from the beginning. He had been a skilled hunter, so he knew how to handle guns, and it was unlikely he would have accidentally discharged one. Years later, these suspicions were confirmed when Mary told the New York Times, "No, he shot himself. Shot himself. Just that and nothing else."
WhenItWasCool.com is your source for the best in retro pop culture. When It Was Cool features articles and podcasts on retro TV and movies, toys, action figures, pro wrestling, food, video games, and more. Hit the Patreon button to support us and get instant access to hundreds of premium podcasts and features. Family friendly and fun. WhenItWasCool.com.
The AllThat'sInteresting.com Ernest Hemingway death article continues. In the decades following Ernest Hemingway's suicide, multiple other members of his family took their own lives as well. According to biography, his sister Ursula deliberately overdosed on pills in 1966. His brother, Leicester, shot himself in 1982. His granddaughter, Margot, a successful supermodel, took a fatal dose of sedative in 1996. Another granddaughter of Hemingway's, Margot's sister Marielle, dubbed this string of mental illness and suicides the Hemingway curse. And in more recent years, doctors and scientists have tried to pinpoint its exact cause. In 2006, psychiatrist Dr. Christopher D. Martin published a study in Psychiatry Journal stating that Ernest Hemingway had a genetic predisposition to mental illness from his parents as well as unresolved trauma and anger from his childhood. Martin analyzed medical records, letters that Hemingway wrote over the years, and interviews by the author and his loved ones before and after his death, and determined that he exhibited signs of, quote, bipolar disorder, alcohol dependency, traumatic brain injury, and probably borderline and narcissistic personality traits. In 2017, as reported by Biography, another psychiatrist named Andrew Farah argued that Hemingway's symptoms resembled CTE, of course, those of us who follow professional football and other professional sports are familiar with CTE, a protein that develops in the brain from repeated concussion syndromes. The article continues, that's the same disease that plagues many football players. The author suffered multiple head injuries throughout his life, and Farah claimed that these could have contributed to his self-destructive behavior. And yet another theory says that Hemingway suffered from a rare genetic disorder that caused fatigue and memory loss and depression and diabetes, all of which Hemingway struggled with. His father and brother had diabetes as well. And Leicester Hemingway even reportedly took his own life because he was facing the possibility of losing his legs from the disease. Regardless of the reason behind Ernest Hemingway's suicide, the author's death was a devastating loss to the literary community and to everyone who loved him. Fans still leave bottles of alcohol in his grave in Ketchum, Idaho, and his Florida home is one of the most popular tourist attractions in Key West. Though his lauded works of literature and the descendants of his beloved cats, the legacy of Papa, lives on to this day. To summarize, the life of Ernest Hemingway would be far beyond the scope of this podcast. I mean, Ernest Hemingway, besides being an author, was an adventurer. I mean, he lived a very complex life. He was married several times over. He was often traveling around the world, a citizen of the world, if you want to put it that way. He was involved in multiple world wars, multiple plane crashes. But what's not beyond the scope of this podcast is to discuss his place in pop culture history. After all, this is one of the 100 darkest moments in pop culture history. And Ernest Hemingway was a very successful, very popular writer. Again, you probably have read some of his books, and maybe in school you even wrote papers about his works. I can distinctly remember The Old Man and the Sea being a required book report material back when I was in school. The New York Times wrote in 1926 of Hemingway's first novel, "No amount of analysis can convey the quality of The Sun Also Rises. It is a truly gripping story told in a lean, hard, athletic narrative prose that puts more literary English to shame. The Sun Also Rises is written in the spare, tight prose that made Hemingway famous, and according to James Nagel, changed the nature of American writing." In 1954, when Hemingway was awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature, it was for his mastery of the art of narrative, most recently demonstrated in The Old Man and the Sea, and for the influence that he has exerted on contemporary style. Henry Louis Gates believes Hemingway's style was fundamentally shaped in reaction to his experience of World War. After World War I, he and other modernists lost faith in the central institutions of Western civilization by reacting against the elaborate style of 19th century writers and by creating a style in which meaning is established through dialogue, through action, and silences. A fiction in which nothing crucial, or at least very little, is stated explicitly. Because he began as a writer of short stories, Baker believes Hemingway learned to get the most from the least, how to prune language, how to multiply intensities, and how to tell nothing but the truth in a way that allowed for telling more than the truth. Hemingway called his style the iceberg theory. The facts float above the water. The supporting structure and symbolism operate out of sight. The concept of the iceberg theory is sometimes referred to as the theory of omission. Hemingway believed the writer could describe one thing, such as Nick Adams fishing in, quote, "Big Two-Hearted River," though an entirely different thing occurs below the surface. Nick Adams concentrating on fishing to the extent that he does not have to think about anything else. Paul Smith writes that Hemingway's first stories, collected as In Our Time, showed he was still experimenting with his writing style. And when he wrote about Spain and or other countries, he incorporated foreign words into the text, which sometimes appears directly in other language, in italics, as occurs in The Old Man and the Sea, or in English as literal translations. He also often used bilingual puns and cross-lingual wordplay as stylistic devices. In general, he avoided complicated syntax. About 70% of the sentences are simple sentences without subordination, a simple childlike grammatical structure. The simplicity of the prose is deceptive. Zotrod believes Hemingway crafted skeletal sentences in response to Henry James' observation that World War I had used up words. Hemingway offers a multifocal photographic reality. His iceberg theory of omission is the foundation on which he builds. The syntax, which lacks subordinating conjunctions, creates static sentences. The photographic snapshot style creates a collage of images. Many types of internal punctuations, colons, semicolons, dashes, and parentheses are omitted in favor of short declarative sentences. The sentences build on each other as events build to create a sense of the whole. And this was drummed into our heads in school. This was that's why you were often assigned Ernest Hemingway novels and stories. In a more simple term, especially compared to some of the Victorian era novels, I've recently reviewed several of these Victorian era novels, Jules Verne and things like that. Over at whenitwascool.com, we've looked at Journey to the Center of the Earth, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and other novels from that same era, like Tarzan and Dracula and many others. And the very flowering style certainly changed. And Ernest Hemingway is very much accredited as being responsible for that. And there is a very, very, very clear difference in the writing style of then versus Hemingway and post-Hemingway literature. Hemingway's legacy to American literature is in his style. Writers who came after him either emulated or avoided it. After his reputation was established with the publication of The Sun Also Rises, he became the spokesperson for the post-World War I generation, having established a style to follow. His books were burned in Berlin in 1933 as being a monument of modern decadence and disavowed by his parents as filth. Reynolds asserts the legacy is that Hemingway left stories and novels so starkly moving that some have become part of our cultural heritage. The details of Hemingway's life have become a prime vehicle for exploitation, resulting in a Hemingway industry. Hemingway scholars believe that the hard-boiled style and machismo must be separated from the author himself, although it's hard to do that, right? The critic Benson agrees, describing him as introverted and private as J.D. Salinger, although Hemingway masked his nature with bravado. During World War II, Salinger met and corresponded with Ernest Hemingway, whom he acknowledged as an influence. In a letter to Hemingway, J.D. Salinger claimed their talks, quote, had given him his only hopeful minutes of the entire war, and jokingly named himself national chairman of the Hemingway fan clubs. To the extent of his influence is seen from the enduring and varied tributes to Hemingway and his works. 3656 Hemingway, a minor planet discovered in 1978 by Soviet astronomer Nikolai Cherenkov, was named for Hemingway. In 2009, a crater on the planet Mercury was also named in his honor. The Kilimanjaro device by Ray Bradbury featured Hemingway being transported to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. While in the 1993 motion picture, Wrestling Ernest Hemingway explored the friendship of two retired men, played by Robert Duvall and Richard Harris, in a seaside Florida town. His influence is further evidenced from the many restaurants bearing his name and the proliferation of bars called Harry's, a nod to the bar in Across the River and Into the Trees. Hemingway's son, Jack, promoted a line of furniture honoring his father. Mont Blanc created a Hemingway fountain pen, and multiple lines of clothing inspired by Hemingway have been produced. In 1977, the International Imitation Hemingway Competition was created to acknowledge his distinct style and the comical efforts of amateur authors to imitate him. Entrants are encouraged to submit one, quote, really good page of really bad Hemingway, and the winners are flown to Harry's Bar in Italy. Mary Hemingway established the Hemingway Foundation in 1965, and in the 1970s she donated her husband's papers to the John F. Kennedy Library. In 1980, a group of Hemingway scholars gathered to assess the donated papers, subsequently forming the Hemingway Society, which is committed to supporting and fostering Hemingway scholarship, publishing the Hemingway Review. Numerous awards have been established in Ernest Hemingway's honor to recognize significant achievements in the arts and culture, including the Hemingway Foundation Pen Award and the Hemingway Award. In 2012, he was inducted into the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame. Almost exactly 35 years after Ernest Hemingway's death, on July 1, 1996, his granddaughter, Margot Hemingway, died in Santa Monica, California. Margot was a supermodel and actress, co-starring with her younger sister, Marielle, in the 1976 movie Lipstick. Her death was later ruled a death by suicide. Three houses associated with Ernest Hemingway are listed on the U.S. National Register of Historic Places. The Ernest Hemingway Cottage on Walloon Lake, Michigan, designated in 1968. The Ernest Hemingway House in Key West, designated in 1968. And the Ernest and Mary Hemingway House in Ketchum, designated in 2015. His boyhood home in Oak Park, Illinois, is a museum and an archive dedicated to Ernest Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway's Childway home in Oak Park and his Havana residence were also converted into museums. On April the 5th, 2021, Ernest Hemingway, there was a three-episode documentary called Hemingway, I should say, that told his life, that was broadcast on PBS. You can certainly see, I mean, the impact of Ernest Hemingway. Goodness, if you know anything about literature whatsoever, you know about Ernest Hemingway. In Our Time, The Sun Also Rises, A Farewell to Arms, To Have and Have Not, For Whom the Bell Tolls, The Old Man and the Sea. All these works of literature by Ernest Hemingway, still taught today, changed literary history. And the story of his sad death certainly is a tragic reminder, one of the 100 darkest moments of pop culture history. Please support us over at whenitwascool.com as we continue this series. I hope you will check out our previous entries in this series. By when I ultimately finish this, we will release an article called The 100 Darkest Moments in Pop Culture History. That is part of going to be one of our 100 list series. We already have others there at whenitwascool.com. 100 greatest comic books of all time. 100 greatest rock and pop music artists of all time. 100 greatest Rush songs. The 201 greatest pro wrestlers of all time. Check out our list under the section The 100 Lists at whenitwascool.com. And again, check out our extensive library of back episodes featuring a number of biographies, book reviews, movie TV reviews, history pieces, all about pop culture and retro pop culture. Check us out at whenitwascool.com. Consider becoming a Patreon, and I'll see you here again next week with another installment here on When It Was Cool Dark.
Hey everybody, Carl here from whenitwascool.com. I've talked to you a lot about our Patreon, which is the most important way you can support us. But let me remind you of what else we do. You can follow us on social media on both Facebook and Twitter. Grab the links off the front page of whenitwascool.com. Check out all of our free podcasts on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, and other major podcast outlets. Check out Dragon King Dark, along with Stuck in the Desert podcast, Uphill Both Ways, Wrestling with the Dog, The Thrash Metal Show, Life and Times with KZ, Our new show, The Plot, Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show, Fireside Chat and Heel Mustache Podcast, plus many specials every month. Go to whenitwascool.com for everything retro pop culture and more. Hit that Patreon link for premium podcast content. If you're looking for something fresh and fun to listen to, then bookmark whenitwascool.com.